This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back to the Junction. Coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond. Also on Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Time now for us to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline and say hello to Spencer Carberry. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Coach, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Very good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. So how has the Four Nations break been treating you and your family? Give us some details on any quick mini trips you may have taken. What's it been like for the Carberry family during the break?
You said you were going up to Canada, didn't you?
Yeah, we ventured up to Quebec City, which if you plan on doing that in the near future in February, make sure you have multiple travel arrangements made and backup plans.
Ooh.
Why, what happened? Did you have any travel issues?
Multiple on the way there and back, but weather related. But the city, beautiful. First time I've ever been there. The tournament that they put on up there, the international Pee Wee tournament with teams from all over the world. It was pretty incredible for me just to experience that, because I had never experienced it as a kid or never been to Quebec City, but then also for my son to be able to experience that. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity for sure.
Coach, I've never been to Quebec. I think I went to Canada a long time ago as a kid, but it's fuzzy. I mean, I'm 54, so it's a long time ago. The one thing I know about Quebec, two things I know. One, they speak French. Two, poutine is like a big thing. Is poutine huge in Quebec, or is that just a big Canada dish overall?
You got those two for sure. Right. French and poutine is massive.
Poutine's big.
And it is also freezing cold.
Okay, so that's a third to add on.
Yeah, it is next level cold there, but very beautiful. It's if I could like compare it to, especially Quebec City, Montreal I've been to obviously a bunch before, but Quebec City even more so is very historic European, old castle, cobblestone. So it's a really, really beautiful city on the river. And but you're correct. And we ventured into some poutine, had some excellent meals up there and some French-Canadian cuisine.
So have you watched some of the Four Nations face-off? What did you think of the fights there in the first 9 seconds between USA and Canada? Are the Tkachuk brothers crazy?
Oh, I've watched quite a bit of it, yeah. Tuned in frequently, and I thought the tournament overall, not just the Canada-US game and that night, but the tournament overall has been fantastic. Great for the game, for casual hockey fans to be able to see the best players or most of the best players in the world playing in games, the speed of the games, the skill on display. And then that night, like the Canada-US, I think it's just a great example of our sport and the competitiveness and the pride that guys have. And it sort of boils over into 9 seconds there. But, yeah, it's just it's impressive to see. And it just shows you how much these players that are representing their country, how much it means to them. And some people say, like, well, why would they fight that early? They literally want to win so badly that they're willing, like, those are guys that don't normally drop the gloves, especially, you know, right off the bat in games. But they're just trying to set the tone and try to create some type of advantage for their team and for their country, for that matter. And, yeah, pretty impressive to watch. I was really it's been great for the sport.
Coach Carberry, do you share the same sentiment that a lot of Canadians do after seeing the fisticuffs in that game, that if a certain Tom Wilson from the Caps roster had been on that Canadian roster, that maybe the Tkachuks and everybody else that was fighting might have thought twice before dropping the gloves with Willie? Were you thinking that as you saw that game unfold?
You must have been eavesdropping on my conversation that evening in the group of hockey dads. Yeah, I would agree. Like, I thought in that setting, you know, and it's not just about the fighting and the fisticuffs and Willie. He just is such a presence, and he's so hard to play against, that what it does is it's not that he's going to beat the crap out of the you know, anybody on the opposing team. It's not about that. It's about he has a presence about him that makes the opposition second guess some things that they're going to do on the ice from time to time.
He's a deterrent.
And that's what I think.
You look over and see him. You're like, I don't want to mess with that guy. I don't want that guy dropping the gloves at center ice.
Exactly. So now all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Maybe they do have the upper hand a little bit, and let's just try to keep it to playing hockey, to where, you know, now all of a sudden you've got that upper hand. So I would absolutely agree.
You know, we've been asking a lot of people about you guys and your success, and, you know, we kind of always preface it by, you know, I guess it's the real deal, man. These guys are, you know, it almost seems early to us. But I wonder, everybody that we talk to that really knows the game, they all give not only the team compliments, then they always end up with, but man, they got a great coach in Spencer Carberry. They all say that, Coach. Did you ever have self-doubt, or did you know you could do this? Like, when did it dawn on you, you know, I could definitely do this, and I could definitely do this at the NHL level?
That's a hard question. I've always felt confident in my ability as a coach, and but I've never really. You always have like self doubt, and do you think I could really do it when I get there? I believed, you know, maybe in my second year in the American Hockey League, that I really think that I could coach in the NHL and be a quality NHL head coach, and I think I'm ready for it. I think I've prepared for it. I think I've have the necessary experience at this point, and all that stuff. So I felt confident, but you never really, until you get here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and honestly, like, I'm such a short-term focused person that it's like I rarely my brain goes to anything big picture other than, you know, today, how am I going to help the Washington Capitals get better today as a team? And how am I going to help the 23 guys on the team get individually better? And what can I do today with that? It might be a day off. It might be do nothing, Spencer, do nothing. But it might be show these four guys some situations, because it's going to be important for the game against Pitt. Show the team this, because it's an area of our game that we've started to slip, or it's an area of our game that we've done a really good job and I need to emphasize to continue. So it's, yeah, like, I've always felt confident about my individual ability, but I rarely go to, like, yay, I've made it, because it's, yeah, it's a day-by-day thing.
joined by Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. So during the break, have you been keeping tabs on any of your players' whereabouts and what they've been doing during the Four Nations faceoff? I saw some video and pics of Ovi working out with former NHLer Darius Kasparaitis in Miami earlier this week. Have you been keeping tabs on those guys at all? Or are you just like, you know what, you're grown men, have a good time, rest and recuperate, and get ready for the end of the season and the playoff stretch run?
More the latter, but I just would know just from talking to them and having conversations, where are you going over the break? What do you have planned with your family? So I know or knew where most of the guys were headed for the break. And our emphasis, or my emphasis for the group, was really exactly what sort of you touched on, was to enjoy the break, enjoy the time away from the game. We've been grinding for 5 months through camp, through the first portion, through the post-Christmas portion of the schedule out west and all that. So I really wanted guys to take advantage of the 8-9 days to get away and enjoy the time away from the rink, away from the pressure and the practices and the meetings and everything, and come back as refreshed as possible. So I was glad a bunch of guys were able to get away and lots out of the country, and some guys training, some guys doing some different stuff. So it's good.
Coach, did you get back into any hobbies or books you had stalled on during this break?
Did you have time for that? What I got back into, which I love. I think I've told you guys this before. I'm a huge, love watching other sports documentary stuff. So I got into the Hard Knocks. I watch all the seasons of the Hard Knocks.
Okay.
I'm a huge NFL guy, but they did a mid-season one on the AFC North.
Yeah.
And so I've been back onto that. I haven't finished it yet, but I love those sneak peeks into how teams run meetings, how coaches address their team, how individual players speak in a huddle, in a team setting, all of that stuff. Even like verbiage up in their locker room and how what they put up for their game prep. I love seeing that stuff, so I got into that over the break.
There's a clip that went viral that I saw yesterday. Maybe it's been up for a while. Of Rick Pitino, who's 72 years old, coaching St. John's, doing a great job with St. John's, where he just lights into his players at halftime. I mean, he calls them cowards, basically. And I'm wondering, what's the worst? Can you remember, like, the worst you've ever been? And have you ever felt bad about, like, yelling at one of your guys?
I absolutely have. And you always, in those moments, because you're so emotional, you're so invested, you're so competitive, that I try to do my best to never, ever, ever get to a spot that I'm like, I wish I didn't do that. It's why I don't like going in after we lose games, because I don't want to say anything that I regret. But I have a couple times in game, especially, because when something happens right away, you go, oh, and usually I'm pretty, I'll self-assess at the end of the night and go find that player or even that group of players and say, that was out of line, and that was on me, and I'll try to be better next time to make sure that doesn't happen again.
So how are you feeling about, you know, we call it the second half, even though it's not. I mean, you got 27 games left, but, I mean, these 27 games will fly by, man. So how are you feeling about, I mean, the playoffs start in April. We're not that far away. How are you feeling about, the last 25 games of the schedule and how you guys are physically and health-wise? How are you feeling about it?
We feel good. We feel like we're in a good spot. We've got 27, like you said, in 55 days to go, starting with a pretty busy stretch right out of this break, and it's going to be chaotic. So we've got 3 days. We're going to sort of focus on this little mini training camp here, three practices, two basically really good quality practices here, pregame skate, and then right into a couple afternoon back-to-backs with Pitt and Edmonton. So we'll same sort of approach, but also starting to have an eye on the finish line here of really getting our game in a good spot, so that as a group, we're really confident playing at a high level at the most important time of the year. So our game looks consistent night to night, and we're doing all the little things that we have to do. And then also individually, we've got a lot of guys that are sort of hitting their stride individually and feeling really good about their individual game as we head into March and April.
After this Pittsburgh game on the road, you've got 7 out of 8 at home. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice little homestand for us because we did get a good, pretty good chunk there at the end with going out west and that. So good opportunity for us to play some home games in front of our fans and get a little home cooking, you know?
Yep.
All right, Coach.
You're perfect.
Let's have a great second half of the season. It's Coach Carberry from the Washington Capitals. Thanks, pal.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Yep. Have a great week.
All thanks, right, Coach. Thank you, buddy. Sports is always presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up next, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Wizards because it's a Wizards Wednesday, and we have tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters on a game show Wednesday. You can call in now at 800-636-1067. Bish Bucks wants to play Wizards Trivia. So that's what we'll do. 800-636-1067. Your chance to win some tickets next here on the Junkies.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you on a game show Wednesday brought to you by Open Road Distilling.
That's right. They're awesome over there in Reston, Virginia. Going to stop by there today for lunch. And by the way, Open Road Distilling is now available at Virginia ABC, exclusively in Northern Virginia. So you can get their bourbon and their whiskey in the ABC stores in Virginia. The smooth depth of independence bourbon or the rich, ready-to-pour maple old-fashioned. This is whiskey done right. For the full experience, visit them in Reston Town Center. But, of course, there's like 55 or 56 ABC stores in Northern Virginia where you can get those bottles. So check them out.
All right, so we're going to do Wizards Trivia. You have to answer two questions. So if you can nail two questions, you win the prize. We have the tickets to the Wizards. Me and Cakes are going to be at the Wizards game on Friday night.
That's right. Good seats, too. Really good seats.
Very nice.
Very nice.
We'll be there on Friday night, but we're giving away some Wizards tickets for Wednesday, February 26th, when they take on Portland. We also have Globetrotter tickets. Let's punch up our first.
It's amazing that the Globetrotters are still a thing.
They're still a thing, man.
It's just amazing.
It's a grind. They've been around a long time.
What a great business.
Yep.
Let's go to Brian in D.C. Brian, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
All right, Jason, why don't you lead off?
All right, Brian. Who was the last number one overall pick for the Washington Wizards?
Have no idea.
John Wall.
All right, you got your first one. If you get this one right, you will win the prize. All right. Look, my two-pointers are somewhat difficult.
All right, well, they got to earn it.
All right, so you're going to the same guy?
Same guy. Jeff Malone had the Wizards' peak, played for the Wizards.
Widow's peak.
What did I call it?
He had a wizard. You said he had a wizard's peak.
Oh, sorry.
A widow's peak.
He was on the Wizards.
I know what you meant.
Yes, widow's peak. Had a nice jumper, played for the Wizards in 83 through 90. What college did he play for?
Oh, that is a tough one. I think I got it. That's hard.
Mississippi State.
Winner! Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Impressive.
Nice job.
Hey, you know what? Since you are a Wizards fan, we'll hook you up with the tickets to go see the Wizards February 26th against Portland. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/contest. Curious, is he still on the line?
Yeah.
So Brian? You knew Jeff Malone. Who was kind of your favorite player in that era, old school Wizards?
Not really that old school. I only knew Jeff Malone because I've watched college basketball a couple nights ago, and they mentioned them on the broadcast.
Oh, really?
Wow, you got hooked. Yeah. You got totally
That's
hooked.
Crazy.
I don't know. For me, I remember, I mean, Gooks. Oh, sorry. I hung up on Brian. Call back, Brian.
Oh, jeez. He just thinks he got
I
mixed.
Feel like they had a Cliff Robinson on the team, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
It was
yeah.
like Dan Roundfield.
Cliff Robinson. Did he go to UConn? Cliff Robinson?
That's a different Cliff Robinson. He's talking about the one with curly hair.
Oh, that Cliff
Yeah.
Robinson.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the Providence. Beef Brothers back then.
Of course.
Jeff
Rulin and Mahorn.
Jeff Rulin and Rick Mahorn.
Remember them.
But, yeah, good times. All right, let's punch up our next contestant.
All right, let's go to Nathan in Potomac. Nathan, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, good.
Nathan, who was the coach when the Washington Bullets won the NBA championship? 1978.
Softball.
No.
Well, that's first question.
Jack... Something.
No.
It's got to be Dick Motta, right?
Dick Motta.
Dick Motta.
100%. It was all right. Dick Motta.
800-636-1067 is the number.
Let's go to Derek in Leesburg. JP?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
All right, Derek. Spell Bilal Coulibaly's last name.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
You get the first letter? Okay.
Libaly.
Correct.
I think you got it.
You got it.
Wow, good job. I thought there were two L's somewhere in there, like back to back.
Nope.
Nice job, buddy. All right.
Is this for the win?
For the win.
All right. I think this is kind of hard. What college did guard Malcolm Brogdon go to?
Oof. Kentucky.
That is incorrect.
No,
he's
sorry.
A Cavalier.
He's a UVA guy.
He's a UVA, yeah,
Cavalier.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
Sorry.
Sorry, buddy.
Sorry, buddy. Let's go to Noah in Frederick.
All right, Noah, I have one to lead off for Noah.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Cake's entering the fray.
All right, Noah, former Wizards draft pick Johnny Davis went to this Big Ten school.
Johnny Davis. What year is that?
Softball.
Can you give me the year?
I mean, he was drafted like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Recent.
He's cheating.
You're finished.
Too long.
He's cheating.
Too long.
Let's go to Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
800-636-1067 if you want to play Wizards Trivia. We've got Globetrotter tickets on the line. You hear somebody miss a question, that means the line's open. So 800-636-1067. All right. His
Kelly.
Nickname was Tough Juice. Can you name that wizard?
Oh, gosh. John Wall. I don't know.
Valdez, you got it? You got Tough Juice? I'm just curious.
That. Locke, he knows that.
Wasn't that Karan?
You Karan got
Butler,
it.
Yeah.
Karan Butler.
I was just testing. Yep. I was just testing.
Who was the big three during the Karan Butler
era? Karan, Gil, and Anton Jameson.
Yep.
Duh. I mean, come on.
when they were good.
Asking me that.
When they were good.
All right. Was that Kelly? That was Kelly, so unfortunately she's out. All right, so let's go to Kobe. Hey, Kobe.
Kobe?
Morning.
Kobe, what is the...
How do you guys know?
What's up? What's the Wizards' current record?
Ooh, exactly?
I mean...
22. Oh.
I just want to hear the answer.
Need a guess.
NBA, it's like...
I'm going to guess
I think
9 and 44?
I think it's 9 and 41.
Incorrect.
Oh!
Bickle?
I just don't know. 9 and 45.
Good job.
Yeah. I may guessed. Is that what it is?
It's 9 and 45.
Yeah, all right.
What did the guy, he said 22. And
yeah. Started with the 20s.
Let's go to John in Waldorf. John.
What's going on, Jones?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, John?
All right, John, this is... it's kind of an opinion, but both of these guys were regular guests on the Junkies. Wes Unseld Jr., the most recent head coach before Brian Keefe.
Yep.
And Scott Brooks. Who was the better guest?
I think I'm going to go with Scott Brooks.
It was Scott Brooks.
Scott Brooks.
And I like Wes, but Scott was a little more personable.
Yeah, Wes was a nice guy, just a little quiet.
All right, one pointer, so it goes to you, Jason, for the two, for the win.
For the two, I think this is pretty easy. Look, we're going to hook him a little bit.
Sure.
What's the guy's name?
John Waldorf.
John Waldorf. Who's the shortest player ever to play for the Washington franchise?
Muggsy Bogues.
Gotta be Muggsy.
There you go.
What about that guard from Michigan State? Wasn't he really little? Do you
Which poster do you
about?
Have? Hold on a second. He's got a poster. Do you have the one with him and Manute?
Muggsy and Manute?
Yeah, oh, Muggsy and Manute.
There you go.
Does he win the Globetrotters?
Yes. Yes.
All right, you got a 4-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters Saturday, March 8th at Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit fandc.com/events.
How big was Earl Boykins? That's who I was thinking of. Was he
5'6"?
5'6".
Okay.
By the way, can you guys name this wizard? He was a second-round pick in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
6'11". He was shot in an attempted carjacking, and he was busted for solicitation in 2007 in Logan Circle. Name that wizard.
I do remember those incidents.
You want another hint?
Hold on. Second-round pick.
I believe the 49th overall pick in that draft.
It wasn't Calvin Booth.
Calvin Booth, no.
It's a good ball buster question.
It was more notorious. It was a notorious guy.
He showed flashes while he was here, but could never quite really put it together.
Oh, Andre Blash.
Andre Blash, yeah.
Yeah.
There you have it. Also played for the Philippines national team.
He's still playing.
Is he still playing? What else are you going to do?
I mean, some sort of level. He looked like he was about 400 pounds.
Yeah, I saw a video where he looked
really.
Is he playing half court basketball or is he running full court still at this point?
Have you seen the video of Pitino yelling at his team?
I saw it, yeah.
Recently?
He was lighting into them.
Can you get that, Valdez?
Is he cursing?
It's already bleeped.
He's cursing.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. He's 72 years old.
He's fired up.
It's halftime. Pitino's kind of a small guy, right?
Yeah.
I would assume he's got
these big dudes sitting down, and he's calling them cowards, basically.
Right.
He's like, where were you raised?
he is.
Now, is this from a documentary?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's going to, I think Vice News, maybe? Vice Sports?
Yeah.
They're doing like a whole season with the Red Storm.
Did the lady ever tag in the Italian restaurant?
Listen up.
Go ahead.
Dig in and be a basketball player. Dig in. Every time you miss a shot, your game deflates. We don't care about your missed shots. Play defense. You guys keep blowing opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. You're like children with bad things happening. Instead of digging in and be tougher, you wilt. Where is your toughness? Where have you guys been raised that you're so weak mentally that you just give up when something doesn't go right for you? Don't you know what adversity is all about? That's the game of life, not the game of basketball. You don't get down when things go wrong. You dig in and get tougher. Your whole life's going to be adversity. Learn how to deal with it.
Pitino.
Yeah, he's just lighting into those dudes.
Yeah.
But
look,
the guy's a respected, he's a Hall of Famer.
That's like, how he gets him pumped up.
He's one of the greatest college hoops coaches ever. If he feels like you're underachieving, like you just got to sit there and take it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, the legend.
You signed up to play for Pitino. You know it isn't going to be going to the country club every day.
Exactly. That's the way he's coached since the 70s.
And he's overcome adversity. Yeah. You know, I was asking you before, the lady that he had sex with in the Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
On the table.
Did that ever come out like publicly, like who she is? Did she ever an interview or did he pay her off to be quiet?
I feel like the name came out.
The name came out, but I can't remember seeing
her. I don't remember seeing her.
Right. I'm just curious.
That speech was when they were down 13 points against Providence, and of course they came back and won the game.
Yeah.
That was in December.
That's incredible.
He's a silly coach.
He's really good.
He's a great coach. The other day, there was a bias thing on. I don't know. Did you guys catch it? It was on like ESPN News or something, and clearly it was an old documentary.
Mm-hmm.
It was so sad. I just had to turn it off. I couldn't stomach it. And I love seeing all the same highlights. You know, we've seen all the highlights.
That was a terrible
but
day.
But it was the dad talking about, you know, the night they were drafting and talking about Lenny telling his dog that we're going to Boston. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we all know Jay Bias. Remember Jay? And
of course.
Played Northwestern or whatever. And
played
later passed
him.
Also. I think he was in. He shot at PG Plaza. Yeah. Is that where he died?
In a drug deal.
Yeah, is that where he died?
Yeah.
He had another brother. There's another brother that was, he was like this heavyset guy that was interviewed.
One. The older one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was older.
And then he might have had a sister that I'm
probably, yeah,
that I wasn't aware of. And I was watching these two people being interviewed and the dad, and it was clearly an old documentary. I just couldn't handle it. I had to turn it off.
Hmm. EB, I did find Karen Cypher.
Oh, that's the one, the woman? Oh, dude, I'm going to go down the wormhole.
You have your afternoon
you see
plan.
What she looks like?
She pled guilty to extortion.
Oh, she tried to extort him?
Yeah.
Over the whole thing?
Unless I'm mixing up the ladies. It says, Karen Cypher is a Kentucky woman who was convicted of extortion after she demanded millions of dollars from Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino to keep their tryst at a restaurant secret.
Well, there you go. That's her.
She was found guilty on 3 counts of extortion, 2 counts of lying to the FBI, and 1 count of retaliating against a witness.
So she set
was
him
sentenced
up?
To 7 years and 3 months in prison.
I remember
she set him up? Wow. It was a honeypot operation, Case.
I guess so. He fell right into it, too.
I think Pitino said something like they were at a golf outing.
Oh, right.
And then he bought her a drink.
Uh-huh.
And then he said she seduced him. She initiated it by unzipping his pants in an empty Italian restaurant.
That's a good start to seduction. Unzipping of the pants, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's a good place to start.
Said when he got up to leave, Pitino said she whispered something, opened his pants, and then the two had sex. This is Pitino, very briefly.
I might have embellished there. Like, very briefly, just is not a great descriptor.
Wow, yeah. I remember the first time we went to Louisville, I had to drive by and find the restaurant. And we did.
Oh, it's still there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Should have gone in and sat at the same table.
I mean, it was 5-6 years ago. I don't know if it is now, but it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. By the way, I guess it's not as bad as I always thought, like, because EB has always been fascinated by this Pitino story. Who tax it in a restaurant.
Dude, he's a major. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Can you imagine, like, I don't know, like Popovich.
I know. Jim Boeheim.
Jim Boeheim. But tag his chicken at a public restaurant.
The way that you portrayed it as a public restaurant and all this stuff, according to this story, the owner testified that the two were talking and were having a drink at closing time.
Right.
He then basically let Pitino, there was nobody there, and said, hey, you can leave through a self-locking door. The restaurant owner went home, and it just left the two people in the restaurant.
I thought there was a coach, like, standing in the doorway, like, keep
Pitino's
an eye
driver.
Out. Oh, his driver. They're definitely
keep people out.
Yeah, just make sure nobody wanders in.
But the restaurant was empty.
Because, dude, Louisville is a small town. He's a rock star.
You can't tax it in
like
the restaurant
Michael Jackson
if there's
there.
A dozen other people there.
Well, I thought it was like a back room.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like a private room.
Well, I mean, trust me. I've worked at restaurants where people have definitely taxed other people that worked at. Now, it was people that worked at the restaurant.
Like in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, like in a back room or like a side banquet room that they would just shut. Like,
oh,
yeah,
really? That was a thing.
I think it's more common than you think. Now, it's not very common for Hall of Fame head coaches that have, I don't know, does he have 800 wins or more?
Tons.
I mean, it's not common with those guys, but I think that happens in the restaurant biz a lot.
Mm. It probably does.
That is funny.
I saw a guy go back and forth with a waitress. They were kind of like, teasing each other. And next thing you know, the guy's tagging her in the bathroom. It was unbelievable.
It happens.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Solid. Good game by him.
Unbelievable game.
I know you get so fascinated with public sex stories, with nudist camps.
They were making fun of each other.
Conjugal visits.
They were attacking each other. Next thing you know, he's having sex with her.
In the bathroom?
Yes.
That's gross. Sex in a, like, you imagine having sex in the Odyssey bathroom. Chepe walks in. Walk in.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
Jenks walks in. It's just a murderer's row. I mean, there's no privacy in there.
I murdered that bathroom during the last commercial.
I know. I got out of there before you did your damage.
I slaughtered it.
All right. Got to take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067. Coming up next, Bill Simmons has a plan to fix NBA All-Star Weekend. Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. A little bit later in the show, Chris Nocke joins us, color analyst for the Terps. Terps ranked 20th right now. Hopefully do some damage in the tournament this year. Valdez gave us those KenPom numbers last week and basically said they could be a Final Four type team. They were what, one of six teams, I forget exactly, but he said there were six teams in the KenPom categories that had them like a Final Four type team. So he'll join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll talk some college hoops with him. Derek Stevens from Circus Sports at 9:45. But we spent some time talking about the NBA All-Star game and the All-Star weekend. None of us watched a lot. I watched only missed dunks, and then I tapped out during the All-Star weekend, and then during the games itself, I tuned in, and it was Kevin Hart on stage talking to the inside the NBA guys. I was like, well, when's the game being played? And then I checked out something else.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were upset about the All-Star weekend because there was a period of time when we were all huge fans.
Well, it used to be a big deal.
Saturday night, and then the game itself on Sunday.
It used to be like appointment TV. Like, you did not miss the All-Star game. You didn't miss the dunk contest. You didn't miss three-point contest. Like, it was almost required viewing.
I remember there was a time where Wilbon, I think, said it was like a national holiday.
Right.
Yes.
For people. The All-Star weekend was that big.
I think he said that for the African-American community.
Essentially,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. But we have Bill Simmons, who has a proposal as to how to fix the weekend. It's about a minute long. Let's listen to Bill Simmons.
We need the All-Star weekend to have coherence again. It needs to be East versus West.
Okay.
We also need stakes. And the whole thing about, well, home court advantage for the finals should go to which conference wins. You can't really do that when you have all these guys who could give a about, like, Trae Young's not, just wait, yeah. I have a fix. Trae Young's not going to care if the East wins because he's not going to be in the finals, right. You know? So if you make home court the prize, you go to a 40-minute game, go FIBA rules so it moves faster and feels different. And you have eight-man teams from the East and the West, right? So we pick 24 All-Stars total, but only 16 of them play in the big game on Sunday with the home court advantage at stakes. Here's the catch. Only players from top five seeds can be in the All-Star game. So then you move to the other thing, the Saturday game. You take the remaining All-Stars, there's eight, Wemby, Siakam, Trae Young, Garland, Dame, Anthony Edwards, AD, and Hero. And you have them play the eight best future guys, Castle, the Thompsons, the first, second year guys. They play those guys, $2 million prize, $250K per person if you win. 8v8, same thing, 40-minute games. And you have the slam dunk after it.
I don't hate it. I mean, I love it. They keep tinkering. Because less and less people are checking out. It's becoming more and more of a joke.
I like the idea that we kicked around the other day of just international versus U.S.
Now, yeah. They did the home field advantage in baseball. Yep. They dropped that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
What he's saying, though, it's
tried to tweak it.
Dependent on having enough guys who are, you know, maybe this year it worked out, but you have to have enough All-Stars that are in the top five seeds.
Right.
Cut it out, but he also said like there'd be a commissioner's pick for each, the East and the West. So not necessarily a player that's in the top five, but
yeah. So Wemby could get, he could play. Yeah.
He could play, or, you know, another player who's like that.
Yeah.
For the East.
I mean, is $250K to LeBron James that important?
Probably not.
And are guys really going to care about that home court advantage for one potential game? Right?
Oh, I think
so. To game seven in the NBA Finals.
Game seven?
Yeah.
If you're a top two or three seed, you're going to care about who gets home court.
Yep. And apparently, when Simmons is basically saying, we're weeding out the people who don't care.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a top five seed in the NBA at the All-Star break, I think you're starting to think about,
you're going
to
care.
You're going to care.
Right. I kind of like that part of the proposal, where if you're we're only take players from top five seed.
And then he said they would do like the first part of the 3-point contest before the game, and then they would finish the 3-point contest at halftime, and then the second half of the game would kick off on Sunday.
Right.
I do like the shorter game.
Yeah.
It'll move better. It kind of raises the stakes of possessions.
We'll see if Adam Silver listens to any of that. I doubt it, but.
They got to do something. I mean, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's dead right now.
Yeah. I don't know what other alternatives. Have they ever done an international thing?
In the Rising Stars, they did.
They do in the Rising Stars.
I just don't understand. Yeah. I mean, is that really going to make LeBron care that much?
Just if you have national pride, I don't know. It's putting on the USA.
Yeah, but they're not playing another country. They're just playing guys from across the world.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not USA versus
Canada.
Yeah,
but it's USA versus the world. USA versus the world. Maybe they wouldn't care, Jeb. You might be right.
I think they care about USA on their jerseys when they're playing in the Olympics. I don't think it would mean as much to them in an all-star game format, but I could be wrong.
Maybe if they're wearing the stars and stripes and they're not wearing some goofy city electric highlighter uniform.
That's what I'm saying. It would be.
I mean, maybe, but why would the other teams care that much? Why would the other players care? Why would
I don't know.
Giannis care?
I don't know.
But is $250,000 going to mean anything to Steph Curry?
I don't think it would mean to any of those guys that would be
The superstars playing. Who are making $50 million
or more
a year.
That's for the warm-up game.
Yeah, that's the Saturday. That's the matinee.
That's for the losers who are out of the playoffs or 5-8.
Mm-hmm. The other ones, they get no financial incentive?
I mean, maybe they would. He's just kicking around ideas. And I think home court advantage is really one of the only ways to get to these guys. To make it worth something. If money doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but like Simmons said, I don't even think if you're a 5 seed, you're really thinking that you're going to get to the finals.
Weren't the Mavs the 5 seed last year?
I know that that's happened. I just don't think in general you think that's
likely. I think it's happened a little more than you think.
But I would say this. The higher seed, the 1 seeds, if they have earned that. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And then to take it away just for
the All-Star game, to have a home court,
yeah.
Just because you want the players to be more interested in the All-Star weekend,
yeah.
You've earned home court. Like the Cavaliers, if they get to the NBA Finals, they've earned that based on 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they should take that away just because of some stupid All-Star weekend. Just my opinion.
Well, what other alternative do you have?
I think the best alternative is the U.S. versus the world, but.
Draft says the world won't care.
They got to figure out a way.
You're probably right.
They need to figure out a way to do something like the NHL has done. Because people are watching. I saw the numbers. I didn't see the updated numbers for TV viewers for the All-Star game of the NBA. But the Four Nations Face-Off peaked at like 4.4 million viewers.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say last year's NBA All-Star game was like right around 5 million. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that different. And hockey usually trails way behind.
And I'm going to guess the number they get on Thursday night for the rematch of USA-Canada is going to trounce that 4.5 million number. Because I think the way that game started with the 3 fights in 9 seconds, that's going to draw a lot of eyeballs Thursday night.
So they have no – they didn't have a All-Star game.
The NHL?
No.
No, not this year.
This replaced it.
This is the replacement.
And how many players? This is a lot more players, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's full squads. 24 times 4. Countries.
So why don't they just steal the Four Nation thing and do and pick the four
I mean,
top? The
problem is.
The Serbians or whatever. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it. It'd be kind of a rematch of the Olympics.
Yeah.
By the way, Netflix is putting out a documentary. I think it starts today about the Americans winning the gold medal at the Olympics. It looks really good. Inside, I think it's 6 episodes. Mm. They followed 4 teams. I read kind of how they decided. They kind of rolled the dice on the 4 teams, but they followed France, Canada, Serbia, who almost won it, right?
I did see a clip
and
where
then the United States.
A clip where I guess the Serbian coach is grilling his players, where he's basically saying, this is in a nutshell. He's saying, if Durant and Adebayo are out in the same spot, you go cover Durant. You don't, you don't care about Adebayo. You go cover one of the greatest scorers in the world. You couldn't care less about Bam Adebayo.
Or I just think that the 4 teams, the tournament to 40 points, I just think that's the dumbest idea ever.
Oh, I don't like that either.
They could just go back to the standard East versus West, and the games will end up 175 to 170. And they just go back to that. I mean, no one's going to care about it.
That's not going to help.
No, it's not going to help. But it's better than what they just had.
Yep. Coming up next, we're going to tackle the wide receiver position. It seems like the Commanders maybe losing some of their options. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.